Elizabeth Elliot says, "I believe there is such a thing as self-esteem and self-image, but I do not think that it is something that you and I ought to be paying much attention to." She says, "I would much rather use the energy and the time that I have and direct it towards knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, finding out who He is, and daily praying that He will make me much more like Himself." Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you today about the subject of Christian freaks. Well, some of you who are listening to me would not call yourselves Christians, and you certainly think that a lot of the Christians that you know are freaks. And I can understand why you think that, because Christians are people whose lives don't make any sense except in terms of another world. We don't really fit into this world very comfortably and smoothly. We are citizens of another country. We look at things on an invisible level. We march to a different drummer. We take as our rule of life not the popular quotation of the day, but the ancient and eternal Word of God. So it stands to reason that we're going to be thought very peculiar at times. But I, for one, although I am a Christian, I don't really like to be thought peculiar. And I have to remind myself, when people think that I say very strange things on this program, that if I'm going to be faithful to the Lord, then I have to be peculiar at times. I had a letter from a woman named Suzanne. She had read Amy Carmichael's biography, and she wondered why it is that some people are constrained to such an extent by the love of Christ that they will stake their whole lives on it, and that others who enjoy freedom just cannot understand why people behave as they do. Why do they go to such extreme lengths? And I remember one time speaking to a group of college students, and afterwards a young student said to me, "You know, Mrs. Elliot, you're speaking to a very small audience." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "Well, you're just speaking to the people who want to go the whole way." And I thought about that, and I said, "Yes, I guess you're right. They're the people that I'm speaking to, the people who really want to go the whole way." But Amy Carmichael told about how when she was a child, they had very strict rules in their family. She came from a Northern Irish Presbyterian family. And she said, "When we went to church, we noticed that other children were given peppermint lozenges, but we were never allowed that luxury." Her parents felt that they could sit through church, long as it might be, without sucking on peppermint lozenges. And so Suzanne asks, why, while others celebrate their enormous freedom in Christ, do some ache to be broken and poured out for Him? She referred to what she called new teaching in the churches on Christian parenting. She calls it the lozenge approach. Christian holiness is so foreign to the world that by requiring it of our children, we are causing them to be freaks. And Christian parents are being taught to be willing to compromise in areas such as music, dress, movies, etc., peripheral areas. And if we are more lenient in those areas, the teaching goes, we will prevent rebellion in our children. Suzanne's question is, will this method produce any Amy Carmichaels? And I have to say that that is a very painful question to me, because as I look around at the Christians and the Christian children, I wonder, where is the discipline that produced a Hudson Taylor, an Amy Carmichael, a Gladys Aylward, a Malla Moe, a Mary Slessor, an Ida Scudder, the great women missionaries whose names were so familiar to me, and many great men missionaries as well, Hudson Taylor, James Fraser, David Livingston, Temple Gardner, and on and on. There's pain in the realization that there are not very many in that category, not very many to whom the cross is the attraction, And that was one of the questions that Amy Carmichael would ask prospective candidates who wanted to come and work with her in India as missionaries. Is it the cross that is the attraction? Does the thought of hardness draw or repel you? Suzanne says it was the pain of constraint that qualified Amy to be a powerful vessel for Jesus Christ. And she asks, shouldn't I desire this pain for my children, even though it frightens me? Well, I have to say yes, Suzanne. I believe that there is a measure of pain that we have to not only desire for our children, but also inflict as their parents. And by that I mean just what a surgeon would mean. It's the job of a skillful surgeon to inflict pain. Not, of course, during the operation if the person is anesthetized, but there's going to be tremendous pain caused by what that surgeon did later on. But if the surgeon is skillful, he is not going to harm the patient. He is going to heal him or do something which will promote healing. And in the same sense, God allows us to be hurt. God, in fact, actually hurts us at times in his refusals, for example, to our prayers. But his refusals are for our good, for our best. So, yes, I do think that Christian parents must allow and at times even inflict pain on their children. By this I mean spankings to begin with. We have to spank them if we really love them in order to bring them under control and restraint and to discipline them. I expect the Holy Spirit to be at work at an early age in a child. But it's the Holy Spirit's work to make the cross the attraction. That is something that a parent can never do by himself. I think that the parent's example is extremely important. And if the child sees in both mother and father a willingness to sacrifice and lay down his life, then the child is going to understand that that is a pattern, and he will want to imitate that pattern at some point. But we do have to be extremely careful of which issues we are going to make the central issues. And the peripheral things are going to have to be related to the central issues. How does a Christian child dress in today's world? Well, I would hope that one simple rule, which would always be made, is that we don't dress to draw attention primarily to ourselves. We don't dress immodestly. What kind of music does a Christian child listen to? I would hope that it will be music which will calm rather than excite. Help your children to live cheerful, normal, unselfish lives without being conspicuous. But then the time comes when he has to act in what appears to be an abnormal way, in a way which may make him very conspicuous. He may be perhaps the only child in the class who obeys the teacher. He is going to be thought of as a teacher's pet, as a freak, and that will be very painful. Occasions will arise when we as parents must be very firm. They need to learn that this is part of the cost of being a Christian. We will be different. And we can do this up until the child reaches teenage. Then I think it's time, and I know that there will be many who will disagree with me about this, but I think when a child reaches the age of 13, that we begin to turn over to that child certain decisions. By that time, he knows what you think about movies, TV, dress, music. Remember that Jesus made a break with his parents when he was 12 years old. I think that should be significant for us. There is a major watershed between the ages up to 12 and then the teenage years. We need to recognize that there's a time to back off, a time to let the child know that he is responsible to decide certain things on the basis of what his parents have given him. This is a scary time for both them and us, the parents. This is a time when we, as parents, and I particularly as a grandparent, must do a lot of praying. I have a 13-year-old grandson now, and you can be sure that I do a lot of praying that the Lord will keep him from the powers of evil, from the sting of faithless sadness, from the worldling's hollow gladness, and emphasize by all means the joy that is set before. Death to self is not a popular concept, but it's the way to life. It gives us victory. Surrender and obedience is the route to freedom and liberation. These are the glorious paradoxes. He that loses his life for my sake shall find his true self. Try to show your children that there is joy set before. Set a strict control over your children's activities, their dress, their friendships, their movies, their TV, up to a point. Set them a solid example, and after that, you must turn them over to God. Continue to give them rules as long as they live in your house, but there are going to be a lot of things for which they will be responsible to God Himself. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.